This is a very interesting story about, again, this is how passive our police now are. Deputies respond to a call in Burien. There was a vehicle running. Two people in the front seat, not moving. Are they dead? Are they unconscious? Are they sleeping? Deputies swing by, tap on the glass, and the driver stirs, opens his eyes, wakes up, sees the police, turns the key, and drives away. The deputies did not pursue them because they didn't have a crime for which they had probable cause to pursue them for. Less than one block later, the car rolls over an embankment and catches fire. That's just the start of this story. The deputies, of course, run down to the bottom of the embankment to try and get the driver and passenger out. The driver does get out. No wonder he drove away. He's got outstanding warrants. Refused to cooperate with deputies. The female managed to get out and she got away. Deputies haven't found her. Denise Whitaker from Como 4 spoke to two neighbors who noticed the car with the two people inside who, again, were either sleeping or they had just passed out. Again, the car was running.
Couldn't see the flames, but there was a lot of smoke coming up, a lot of dark smoke, and I was hoping it wasn't one of our neighbors' houses.
The smoke Michelle Porterfield saw came from this car, reported stolen 1 week ago, now crashed into a neighbor's garage down a steep embankment.
I was really scared.
Erica is the one who first called 911 this morning after her dog alerted her to a car in the driveway, engine running, with a man and a woman inside, who she says appeared to be sleeping or passed out.
I didn't know who they were or why they were here, and then to see all of that go down, it was really scary.
Deputies tried waking the couple, and when the man behind the wheel woke up, Captain Todd Morrell tells me the driver intentionally rammed a patrol car trying to get away. He also tells me deputies standing outside their vehicles had to run to avoid getting hit.
But he accelerated away and fell into the ditch next to the next door's garage, and the accelerator got stuck down. And so it started a fire.
Erica tells us deputies used fire extinguishers while also trying to get the man and woman out of the car. The smoke so great, four of those deputies suffered smoke inhalation.
I'm just glad that nothing else happened, that they hit a garage instead of a house.
Turns out the driver of the car has an outstanding felony warrant for escaping community custody on a charge of unlawful possession of a firearm. I asked King County Sheriff's Captain Morrell if they found any weapons in the car. So far, he told me none had been found. He did tell me deputies also spotted drug paraphernalia in the car. Medics took that driver to the hospital. It's unknown yet if doctors ordered a toxicology panel.
Gee, I wouldn't have known about any of these things. This is so predictable. By the way, deputies had to dodge this guy. Drove his car at deputies. They had to jump out of the way, and he rammed a police car, and they didn't pursue him? I'm concerned, when you drive your car at another person, that is assault with a deadly weapon.
Yeah.
You should be able to open up and fire on that vehicle.
And here's what's so strange.
Let alone pursue them. What do you mean they didn't pursue him?
Yeah.
He drove his car at them.
Basically, Seattle politicians, King County politicians, the Washington legislature with Democrats in control and Governor Inslee, they basically rolled back all of these enforcement crimes. The King County Prosecutor's Office certainly doesn't really enforce drug crimes. So what was this driver thinking, that the driver behind the wheel was awoken by ostensibly a deputy knocking at the window?
A welfare check.
Yeah. Yeah, that
your car's running. No one's moving. Are you okay?
Roll down the window. What's up, man? And just saying, oh, I'm just sitting here in this car. But yes, the impulse of the driver is, oh, I'm busted. I'm speeding away, endangering everybody else.
Yeah.
And this is the climate that Seattle politicians, King County politicians, Washington legislature has created.
No. It's more than that. This is the climate that criminals now operate in, and think, I can drive at these deputies. They're not going to pull their weapons and fire.
Yeah, okay.
I can ram that police car. They're not going to pursue me.
Not going to chase.
Isn't it a crime to ram a police car?
Last I checked.
It would seem to me that if you have a dented police car and witnesses who see the driver ramming your police car, that's probable cause for a crime. What do you mean they're not pursuing these guys? This is, again, I don't blame the cops, understand. This is the anti-police reforms. They had the votes to change this ridiculous anti-police pursuit policy. And state senators like Manka Dingra over in the Radical in the 45th District of Kirkland, Redmond, refused to allow her caucus to vote it out. And so that's why it's still the law. These people are so contemptible. It's unbelievable. The legislators who enable them are as bad as the criminals themselves. That's why we need a house cleaning in November. Okay, by the way, last week we brought you the story about the eco blocks. Okay, the
right.
Eco blocks,
yeah.
Are these 2,000-pound cement blocks that are magically appearing in places where these dilapidated running drug dens, these RVs, like to travel in caravans and park along the side of the road, and they bring misery, mayhem, and crime to wherever they go. That's as night follows day. Whenever you have these illegal tent encampments or RV encampments, this is what follows. Well, now, this concept is moving to the sidewalk. North Seattle residents are tired of homeless drug vagrants camping on their sidewalks. So now, all of a sudden, large planter boxes are now appearing where the tents used to be. In this area, North Aurora Avenue, it's up near where Jonathan Cho joined us last week to talk about the problems of the homeless tents and how aggressive and defiant they were. And after the tents were recently cleared, neighbors said, don't give them a chance to come back and put their tents back up. So all of a sudden, these planter boxes are now appearing.
We all decided that the best thing that we could do is plant like mature bushes and gardens to just act as a kind of like a green deterrent for people coming back.
I call them eco planters.
The idea is catching on in other neighborhoods where planting strips have been overtaken by tents and then cleared. This street on Capitol Hill had similar problems with homeless campers.
But that would be a good idea to let people have a little garden.
I think it would keep them out of it. I really do.
Other deterrents are being tried, including controversial concrete blocks. But even the gardening advocates say it shouldn't be the neighbors providing all the solutions.
Like, the city needs to do its part to help keep public safety for everybody.
Setting up a garden like this is not cheap. The neighborhood has already spent thousands of dollars on water, and it requires ongoing care and maintenance just for a little peace of mind.
And they are parting with that money. so they can have a little peace of mind. Again, because the city, you don't think the city could have put these planters up there? Boy, they certainly have the money to put in these parklets to keep people from parking cars where they used to be able to park. These parklets are funded by the city. Why aren't these planters being funded by the city? Sounds like neighborhood beautification to me. Hmm?